A summary of the account in the Geneva Trust Bank was produced with a bribe of $40,000 to a Bahamian banking official, a man they'd used before. Boomer Realty had a balance of $189,000. Its lawyer had about $68,000 in his account. The summary listed all the transactions. Money wired in, money taken out. DeVille's people were trying desperately to track down the originators of the wires. They knew about Mr. Garb's remitting bank in Des Moines, and they knew that another wire of $100,000 had been sent from a bank in Dallas. They could not, however, find out who'd originated that wire. They were scrambling on many fronts when Teddy summoned DeVille to the bunker. York was with him. The table was covered with copies of Garb's file and copies of the bank summaries. DeVille had never seen his boss so dejected. York, too, had little to say. York was bearing the brunt of the Lake screw-up, though Teddy was blaming himself. "The latest," Teddy said softly. DeVille never sat while in the bunker. "We're still tracking the money. We've made contact with the magazine out and about. It's published in New Haven, a very small outfit, and I'm not sure if we'll be able to penetrate. Our contact in the Bahamas is on retainer, and we'll know if and when any wires are received. We have a unit ready to search Lake's offices on Capitol Hill, but that's a long shot. I'm not optimistic. We have 20 people on the ground in Jacksonville."
"How many of our people are shadowing Lake?"
"We've just gone from 30 to 50.
"He must be watched. We cannot turn our backs. He is not the person we thought he was. And if we lose sight of him for 1 hour, he may mail a letter or buy another magazine."
"We know. We're doing the best we can."
"This is our highest domestic priority."
"I know."
"What about planting someone inside the prison?" Teddy asked. It was a new idea, one hatched by York within the past hour.
DeVille rubbed his eyes and chewed his nails for a moment, then said, "I'll go to work on it. We'll have to pull strings we've never pulled before."
"How many prisoners are in the federal system?" York asked.
135,000, give or take," DeVille said.
"Surely we could slip in another, couldn't we?"
"I'll give it a look."
"Do we have contacts at the Bureau of Prisons?"
"It's new territory, but we're working on it. We're using an old friend at Justice. I'm optimistic."
DeVille left them for a while. He'd get called back in an hour or so. York and Teddy would have another checklist of questions and thoughts and errands for him to tend to.
"I don't like the idea of searching his office on Capitol Hill," York said. "It's too risky. And besides, it would take a week. Those guys have 1 million files."
"I don't like it either," Teddy said softly.
"Let's get our guys and documents to write a letter from Ricky to Lake. We'll wire the envelope, track it. Maybe it will lead us to his file."
"That's an excellent idea. Tell DeVille."
York made a note on a pad filled with many other notes, most of which had been scratched through. He scribbled to pass the time, then asked the question he'd been saving.
"Will you confront him?"
"Not yet."
"When?"
"Maybe never. Let's gather the intelligence, learn all we can. He seems to be very quiet about his other life. Perhaps it came about after his wife died. Who knows? Maybe he can keep it quiet."
"But he has to know that you know. Otherwise, he might take another chance. If he knows we're always watching, he'll behave himself. Maybe."
"Meanwhile, the world's going to hell. Nuclear arms are bought and sold and sneaked across borders. We're tracking 7 small wars, with 3 more on the brink. 12 new terrorist groups last month alone. Maniacs in the Middle East building armies and hoarding oil. And we sit here hour after hour plotting against 3 felonious judges who are at this very moment probably playing gin rummy."
"They're not stupid," York said.
"No, but they're clumsy. Their nets have snared the wrong person."
"I guess we picked the wrong person."
No, they did.